Hi, and welcome to the Burlington United Methodist Church podcast. I am Joshua Johnson, and I am the pastor of Burlington UMC. On this channel, we'll be posting sermons and other content. We have begun a new sermon series called, What Did I Sign Up For? And this is the sermon, To Be a Part of History. I hope you enjoy, and thank you for listening.
So I want to begin here to ask you a question. It is a hard question, a difficult question. Some of you are not even want to even think about this question, but I need you to think about it, even just for a moment. What if Burlington Methodist Church never existed? What if Burlington Methodist Church never existed? Where would you be? What would you be doing? And as I looked into the history of the church, I began to wonder, where would Burlington be? Where would Coffee County be if Burlington Methodist Church never existed? A difficult question. Yet a pastor on his circuit who showed up here once a quarter met with several folks. And by several folks, I mean when they first started the church, July 7th, 1857, it was seven of them. Seven who decided that they together were going to form a church and they were going to follow God's will for them and for Burlington, Kansas. A town that was, when it first started, was nothing but young, single men working the ground. And so it was a really big deal when the first school teacher arrived because it was the first woman to arrive to Burlington, Kansas. It's like, oh my goodness. But also as the town grew, the church grew, and it drew people from all across the community. And of course, they faced their own challenges like we do. Of course, they may look a little differently because as we face some of our own social challenges, our own cultural hurdles, they had theirs as well. And I began to find out you really don't mess with the Methodists in Burlington, Kansas. When the first saloon came to town, there was a committee that was formed to try to get rid of the saloon because this is one of those early saloons where, sometimes things didn't, were not supposed to be happening or happening. And the Methodist pastor went to the saloon owner and said he was going to pray for his removal. A week later, that saloon owner dropped dead. You don't mess with the Methodists. Because I guess I don't know what that pastor prayed for, but I hope it wasn't for that saloon owner to drop dead. Seven people met with a pastor once a quarter, but committed to build a church here as part of an eight-church circuit, and they met in an incomplete hotel, and it is where that incomplete hotel is where the library now stands. And in the room that they met, didn't really have any floors or wasn't anywhere to sit. It was all makeshift seating and pulpit, and it ended up being the bar room of that hotel. And this church that formed in July 7th, 1857 would hop from place to place to place when it was, a little too much to meet by the river week in and week out, and of course waiting for the pastor to show up on his quarterly rotation. And they met in several shops, buildings, empty warehouses, until they finally settled and built a building on 2nd and Hudson. And when they outgrew that, they were ready to then, of course, build at 6 in the morning. And so the first building in this part of the town was actually just the next block over. There's one building, two buildings, and now this is the third building that has existed in this location here on 6th Street for Burlington Methodist Church. I read that there was four parsonages. They built one by the river and decided it was too inconvenient, so they got rid of it within a year and built a new one, and I believe we're now in our fourth parsonage. They started Sunday school in 1889. And by 1921, they had 650 people enrolled for Sunday school and had a regular attendance of 350. They were one of the fastest self-supporting churches in that era. And by 1957, at their 100-year anniversary, they already had a reputation for developing elders and district superintendents for the conference. And those districts and conferences shifted because so much was happening here at Burlington United Methodist Church and the surrounding community. They would hold 24-hour prayer vigils where one of these vigils, 95 different people participated. The Presbyterian Church used to have a presence here, and when they had to close, they end up here at the United at the Methodist Church here in Burlington, deciding, you know, we could be your home for you guys to worship. You know, there might be some time where you have to go out by yourself again as Presbyterians, but if you need a home to worship, you may join us. And 99 Presbyterians became Methodists because of what the Methodists opened invitation for those folks. This place, this church, has been so crowded that it was described like bees around a hive. People were just hovering around the doors and the windows just to be a part of worship. There were some down times, but there was up times. And the impact this had on the circuits, on the community, on Burlington, on the Coffee County is immeasurable. Because I was actually trying to count all the different activities, events that this church hosted, not just for church stuff, but also for the community. I could not count the number of things that were hosted here. And it was also described as the church would be packed. One person began to wonder that if the church was just too crowded or the pastor was just too popular. And that was in the 1950s. But it's not just churchy things that drew people here. Job Throckmorton, I'm sorry, I'm chopping up that name, saw that as the town began to grow, decided that the town needed a public school, and the public school was hosted in the Methodist Church. And by 1891, there was 200 students from Burlington and surrounding communities and had 27 teachers. The members of the Methodist Church here in Burlington had influence in politics, social issues, and communal issues, no matter what was going on in the world or in their country. Because when they found the Sunday school, when they found the public school, we were in the middle of the Civil War. And yet this church saw the importance and need to educate the children. As I wrap up just describing the history to you, I want to read off just the groups that have met here. There was the Methodist Men's Brotherhood, the Boy Scouts, the Faithful Class, the Comrade Class, Fidelis, Pathfinder, the Business Men's Class, the Wesleyan Service Guild, the Whatsoever Class, the Epworth League, the Junior League, the Women's Foreign Missionary Society, the Women's Home Society, the Ladies Aid Society, and the Young People's Christian Society. And these were groups, these were classes, these were societies that gathered together to have an impact on the community and across the world. Because the Business Men's Bible Class was to gather the men to not just study the Bible, but also to elevate the community, to elevate the businesses, for them to have integrity and to encourage one another. And when they decided that the ladies need something similar, the ladies said, "We can do it ourselves, thank you very much." And that was then the creation of the Whatsoever Class. And those ladies helped a home for old folks before there were nursing homes. That was their task, was to take care of those who were elderly and had no place to go. So in our vision statement, share God's love in Coffee County across the world, that has been what we have been doing since the beginning. And even with all the hurdles of the ups and downs in 1991, it was the call to grow, dwindle, or die. But as I think Reverend Garst had said when he first came here, of course, Reverend Garst, that's what they named Garst Hall after, one of his first bulletins, God is here. God is here. And that has been my experience, that there is nothing in Burlington and Coffee County that was not touched by the Methodists, by this church for good, both spiritually and for the community. And it all started because 7 people said yes. 7 people. And that's the first 2 rows right here. That unleashed everything that you see before us. And I think it's because, and I truly believe that because the work of the Methodists, as they supported themselves in the scriptures, as a church, but also going on the community, what made Burlington the seat, helped make Burlington the seat of the county. Because they drew people from everywhere. The outreach was every part of the community. So, 200 people in those days gathering for public school. 350 people for Sunday school. Burlington was not a large place when they started out. And yet people saw something in the movement of God here in this place that impacted what's going on here and individuals, but also what's going down on Main Street, along the highway, in the businesses, in the social clubs, to love those who may be struggling, because that Fidelis group I talked about, that group was specifically formed to support the ladies whose husbands were off to war in World War II. So let me ask you the question that we started out with. What would have happened if Burlington Methodist Church never existed? Not only would this place look different, I think this whole town would look different. This county would look different. This part of the state would look different. And so what I want to invite for us here this morning is a change in our perspective, because I know some of y'all, when you grew up and went to school, said history was not my thing. But what we see in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, is that we have to know our history. We have to understand our history, because we become a part of history. And so just as we celebrate the 4th of July, I want to just tag on that for a moment here, is that when John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and all those founding fathers recognized that what they were doing in the moment, whether they were going to succeed or fail, they knew they were making history. And so John Adams had his wife buy a leather pad folio and says, "Save a copy of my letters." And I believe Thomas Jefferson created a device that as he wrote one, it would make a copy on another sheet so he would have a copy of his letters, because they knew one day the generations that would follow them would read those letters. And so as I wonder here, for those who came before us here at Burlington Methodist Church, that they thought about you and me, those of us who would follow what they did, starting at the side of the river, when they built that first building, when they built the second building, the third building, the fourth building, those who would come, recognizing that God, through them, was making history. And so when Stephen gives his speech in our passage here in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is accused of speaking against the law. He is speaking against the temple. And of course, those two things make up the identity and character of the Jewish people at that time. And so this was a very serious charge. And of course, you know, they got the emotions riled up. And so they were ready to execute Stephen just based on his words alone. But of course, they bring him before the high priest. And the high priest says, "Is this true?" And Stephen doesn't go on the limb for himself. He gives the Jewish people a history lesson to remind them of who they were and what they have, where they have been, and what God has been doing. And God has led up to this person called Jesus, the ultimate fulfillment of all the previous promises God has made. And that there are these persons that stand out because they said yes to God: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. Those who they celebrated and recognized. And if you were to ask them who was the ideal Jewish person, they'd be like, "Abraham." You know, and when they would talk about the law, they'd think, "Oh, Moses." What would they say about you and me? And what we do today? 100 years from now, 20 years from now, even 10 years from now. See, with Stephen, when he shares this, he shares with them a hope. Because sometimes when we're in the midst of our everyday lives, when we're trying to struggle with the challenges that we're facing and the activities, the busy calendar, sometimes we forget that God is still on the move, that God is still calling us to work, to act, to love, to speak for him. And that we are in the act of making history, not just in the big things, but also in the small things. Because I imagine for Mr. Throckmorton, when he started the public school, it's like, "This is no big deal. We're just going to start a public school." When the church gathered together to raise books, he's like, "Well, we're just raising a fundraiser." But yet those small things created big outcomes for everybody. And everyone was able to see what the Methodist Church was doing and how they responded. And that is an invitation now open to you and to me. And so we must remember where we have been because God has acted and God is still on the move because God is moving us to a direction to make life change just in ourselves, but also in our community across the world. I mean, it's part of our vision to share God's love with Coffee County and the world. And so we might need to recite our history on occasion to get back into the optimism because God has acted in history, God will act again. And we can demonstrate it in the very words that God has always acted in history on the behalf for his people to accomplish his mission. And at times when it's hard, when it doesn't feel like it, that's why we go back and hear the stories. Just like you do at a family reunion, hanging out with your friends. Do you remember when XYZ happened? Who was that guy that did that one crazy thing? Remember back in 5 years ago, 10 years ago when the church did? Or when that leader, dot, dot, dot. And I dug a little deeper into the history as I was feeling inspired from Stephen on what really caused what really the trends towards the growth of this church. That as God had moved, it really wasn't the pastors. Good preaching was part of the equation of what God did, but it was intentional community engagement. It was the church gathering together in small groups, not waiting for anyone else to tell them, to describe to them, to push them. They did it themselves. Lay leaders taking initiative and moving and changing whatever they needed to do in order to accomplish the mission. And when there was good preaching, and that's when everything was on fire, when all these things were working together, that was when you see the explosion of people receiving God, experiencing transformation, regeneration. The excitement of wanting to be here on a Sunday morning. And this is why for myself, as I've experienced for myself, this regeneration, this excitement to be here, because if we're bored being here, there's a problem with our worship, and there's probably a problem with me. Because if we believe who God says he is, who Jesus is, then there should be a little joy going on inside of us to worship God, to come together, to raise our voices, to be in the moments of prayer, to read the Because if a church is on fire for him, there's been nothing in Burlington and Coffee County that was not touched by this church for good, spiritually and socially. Because God wants his church to be a people who make history. Let me say that again. God wants his church to be a people who make history. Again, in the big things, but also in the small things. How we organize and try to have big community impact, but also how we treat each other every single day. So that when people who don't believe, when they see you, when they see what's going on here, they're going to be curious. And it made me start thinking, what makes them tick? What's going on in that building that these people want to be there and sing those songs, pray prayers? Hear some bald dude yak for 20 to 30 minutes every week. Because God doesn't celebrate what we do. He doesn't celebrate the same success as we do. Because his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And yet if we say yes to his ways, we say yes to what he wants to do, that is when life change happens in us and in the community and across the world. But we have to respond to the invitation to say yes, even if it's just a small handful of us. So will you respond? Will you move forward? Will you create history? Because at the end of it, I tell you, there will be a crown just for you. There will be a nameplate at God's table just for you. There will be a room with your name on it in God's house just for you. But we first have to say yes at the side of a river or in a wooden pew. Whether it's this Sunday or you come up for communion, you're kneeling at the rail, it's saying yes to a God who came for you and for me, who made history, is making history, and invites us to join him in creating history. So if you felt a little bored about this morning's sermon, about this little history lesson, I'm sorry. But I'm also not sorry. Oz Guinness points out, in some of the greatest leap forward of civilization was when there was a returning to founding or first principles. One of the things he points out is that in the Reformation, in the Renaissance, a lot of those big movements in history, they were able to go forward because they went back. They were able to leap forward and make all those advancements in science and philosophy and mathematics and all these things that impacted every aspect of culture because they went back to first principles. And so for us as Christians, as we want revival and renewal and regeneration and a little bit of excitement, spiritual energy in our lives, we may have to go back to first principles. And some of those go back, we have to go back to first practices, reading our scriptures, getting into prayer, and even sometimes, dragging ourselves out of bed and seeing what's going on here at church on Sunday morning. But also with first principles comes love and serving one another, volunteering for a mission, for a ministry project, getting our hands dirty, giving somebody a shoulder to cry on, or just an ear to talk. The big and the small things. If that is how God has moved in history, and that is how God has always moved in history from what we see in the Old Testament, in church history, and within our history, if we respond to what God is doing, he will do it again. Will you say yes? So we end with one more question. What will you do? What history will you create so that when you look back or when you share with your children, your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, what stories will you have to tell what happened here? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for the invitation to follow Jesus. Lord, who is always on the move, and Lord, sometimes we get lost in the trappings of this world, Lord, with our busy schedules, but you keep calling us to follow you. And Lord, as we have looked back a little bit here this morning to wonder what we signed up for here at Burlington United Methodist Church, Lord, that with seven people unleashed a whole work of what you wanted to accomplish here, in and through your people. Not tied to a building, a location, a house, or whatever, Lord, but through your people who were on the move as well, because Lord, they said yes to you. And so, Lord, we need to be reminded, I need to be reminded, as Reverend Garst had said, you are here. And you continue to invite us again the next week, the next week, the next week, every single day to say yes to you in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. And so, Lord, I pray for this congregation that they become history makers in and through you to help build up each other, to build up this church, to build up this community so that people around the county, around the state, even around this part of our country, Lord, they will look here and say, what is going on in Burlington? And I want to check it out. And that they will find out you are here. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.